Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 438 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. This week, we will be discussing episode 708, entitled Turning Point.
This episode opens with a decently quick, whatever, recap of 707, and then episode proper opens up on bodies in a battlefield. There is a woman.
This was like straight out of Les Mis.
Oh.
They were trying to steal Marius's teeth or whatever when he was passed out, and Valjean saves him and carries him on his back through the sewers. You don't remember that?
Is that Bring Him Home?
It's before. I think it's something like that. I just know he saves him from somebody trying to steal his teeth.
No, I apparently don't remember that.
Wow, Ginger. That was OG. That was like our musical upbringing. Like one of the first shows we really watched or had interest in.
Oh, yeah. I remember that much.
For shame. I'm revoking your musical theater card.
A woman and her son come up on Jamie's body. The same body we saw at the end of last episode. Claire challenges them with a no effing way.
Well, not only no effing way, but like the odds of her looking for him at the exact moment that somebody is trying to steal from him.
I wouldn't say
that
looking for him, the odds of finding him at that exact, she said she's looking for him all night.
Right. And I know that, but the odds of him surviving the battlefield muggers, if you will.
Oh.
Or
the people who like scavengers.
Yeah. Him surviving the scavengers until she shows up. That's a grande.
Claire's like, no effing way, off my man. And then she goes all Excalibur with Jamie's sword on them. And the mother's like, and she leaves. And I thought, I was expecting this, and I misremembered from the first time watching this episode. And this scene is literally straight from the book, like verbatim, but the scene happened very similarly. The one thing that I believe is in the book, and I misremembered as having been in the show, is the woman, as she is like really deciding, she thinks real hard. Like, she wants Jamie, whatever is on him or whatever. She wants to take his stuff, right? And whether Claire's is for all she knows, Claire could be lying, right? She doesn't know Claire. Jamie's knocked out. Well, she doesn't know.
The bottom line is, it wasn't that just she wanted to steal his stuff. When he was like, he's still breathing, she's like, well, slit his throat, Ben. So she was going to kill him, not just steal his stuff. So, I mean, if they had just taken his stuff and run, like if they just took his sword or his gun or whatever and run, this probably would not have been such a big deal. But they were planning on slitting
his
throat.
I understand. And I understand they were scavengers looking for stuff. But yes, it got super dangerous when we hear the mom say, you know, we'll just slit his throat in that way, whatever. Yes, of course, Claire wants to protect him, his stuff too, but mostly his life. But what they did not do from the book, which again, doesn't matter, but I misremembered it. I thought it was in the show and it wasn't, which was this exact scene. The woman, the mother, is not just doing what she's doing in the show. It's beyond. She's making like the evil eyes at Claire. There's a little more dialogue in there. And I don't know exactly. She doesn't curse Claire or anything, but she says to her something like, I'll remember you. I'll find you. Like, she has words for Claire. And I was like, that's a little far. As far as book nine, there's been no follow-up. I don't think we're going to see follow-up from that woman because Claire has since gone to Scotland and come back.
Well, I'm sure that in the book what she meant was, on the next battlefield, I'll remember you. And if Claire never had to go find Jamie as a body in the middle of a battlefield, she was never going to come in contact with that woman again.
It was just, she was a lot more freaky. So then Claire tickles Jamie and his hand is clobbered. She's like feeling in his hand to see how wounded he is. She helps the stupid hero off the field. Their love theme tickles its way up between them as she reminds him they're supposed to be in Scotland, yo. You shouldn't even have been here in this battle. That's what freaks her out. It pisses her off. Like, you should not have been fighting. It's because of you and your bloody... Excuse me, I just dropped the F-bomb?
But even she comes back later and says, this may have always been the way that it was. So it's like she doesn't... Like, yeah, you had planned to go to Scotland, but you didn't know that historically they always went to Scotland. So he historically, canon, was always on that battlefield.
No, come on. Canon is the book.
Yeah, and in the book, he was always on... He was on the battlefield.
Yes, but I don't think in the book she says the same lines at this point. Because in the book, they're never meant for Scotland and then don't get to go. Yes, there is the incessant Jamie always keeps re-upping. Yes, but... They're headed to Scotland from further south, and remember they get in the whole pirate thingamajigger. They land back, and then it's when they're on the coast or when they're back in the colonies on land that Jamie has said that he will fight whatever. He'll sign up and enroll, and then after that, however long that is, after that. They would be able to go to Scotland. At that point, it has nothing to do with Fraser because they don't have plans, right? They just know they're going to hopefully take their own boat. But yes, the way it ends up in the show and the way it ends up in the book, that is similar as far as them accompanying the body. But the show complete, which is fine because again, airtime, squishing a book into 8 episodes, like and book 8 is the second longest, I think, after book 6. So they had plenty of reason to skip this, and they could, but they completely, if you haven't read the book, they completely eschewed the first water trip.
I'm going to jump your notes for a hot second just to say, I'm so glad we didn't spend episodes and episodes of them on a boat again.
On a boat? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, then we get intro music, and I don't know. I love the collage. The collage, I call it a collage. That's not really the case. Collage, I guess you could have a video collage. It's just all the videos of all the of the opening scenes, the different scenes we have in the sequence. I always love looking at what they have, seeing what I recognize, seeing what I don't recognize, and then for the split second it's on screen, wondering, oh, I wonder if that's from future episodes, because they do that too, or this episode we're watching right now. And then we have the title card. And it is basically, it's the upside down boot pouring out blood.
Yeah, which you would imagine is probably hanging off of some horse that came back to camp after the battle without its rider.
Yes. And there's lots of, as I said to Summer just before we started recording, this is like, yeah, I think probably 80-20 is good. Maybe 90-10, but probably 80-20. It's like 80%. Battles in the colonies or something, and then 20-ish% Lallybroch-ish.
To be fair, to get us to the midway point in this show, they had much less to cover with Bree and Roger than they did of getting Jamie and Claire to Scotland. It's coming. They saw the episode.
Okay. Back at the American camp, Claire is tickling Jamie's hand even more. She still hasn't told him who won. He asked her earlier, by the way. But it's only the Brits. She says it's the Brits claiming they did. That's all she can really say. She said they suffered nearly twice the casualties as the Continentals did.
Yeah, but they had more than twice as many people.
Yes. And then she's like, calm down about Willie. We don't know anything until we have any information. There's no need to freak out about something. Dr. Hunter comes to lament the high number of patients that he's seeing and all these people being killed as he speaks with Claire. Denzel is having a hard time, but he says apparently Rachel is doing okay. Claire goes back to their tent and plans to tend to Jamie's hand. A Colonel Johnson had visited Jamie in her absence. It seems he and some others had broken the British charge, and so Johnson's men had been saved. And he says 10 good men would be worth losing a finger for. And it seems TV Jamie will not have to lose a finger after all.
You know, I thought about his finger.
But that was a lot of to do about a finger and then not doing it.
I know, but it's like I thought about the whole finger thing and I was like, is this going to be another thing that he has to go into makeup for like 4 hours for every episode? And it has to be in every episode because you always see hands. So it wouldn't be like his back where they spend, you know, however many hours putting his back scars on for an episode where his back.
I wonder if that's why there's so many love scenes with her on top, because if they have him on top, they got to do his back.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that the line that they toe is something about women empowerment and the woman's gaze, and women should always control the situation so they don't look like they're not in control. So I'm sure that's what they're going with, but I'm probably sure it has to do more with prosthetics.
And a little of their love theme winds up in this scene as she finishes his hand.
Is that the one where she gave him the last of her laudanum?
Correct. This is the first of three times we're in Scotland. So 1980 Scotland, Lallybroch. Bree is waiting with Mandy, and Roger and Bucklevy come in and confirm they've just been to the Stones and back. They confirm that Rob has indeed gone through the stones with Jem. Bree says it must be the gold. The musket ball, the letter that has the letter from the box they have the stuff in, the musket ball is missing. One of the musket balls that they put in there, Jamie and Claire, or Jamie, whatever. And the letter that mentions the Spaniard's gold. After all the stuff we've talked about at very many different times, and how much the gold has been a throwaway this entire series. And now she's freaking the F out, saying, oh my God, it's the gold. And they're making a huge deal out of it, which it should be, because this is what now, why they're, to their eyeballs, to their beliefs, why their child has been abducted.
It's in line with how they've treated the gold this season, with Jem knowing where it was.
This season?
I mean,
the whole show.
I mean, it's less thrown away now than it was before. They didn't even mention it. They didn't touch it and do any of the things with the mausoleum or the all of that. I mean, it was kind of just...
It was rushed at the end to make sure they
just
got it.
Just to make sure it got in there, yeah.
She got dialogue in there with the bugs before they died.
Which is a whole lot why I'm not paying attention to gold. Like, I recognize that they talked about it, but...
Okay, I understand. Well, I don't understand. I don't pretend to understand a lot of things. And, like, certainly they can't be talking about the Frenchman's gold. Because... the stuff that was skipped over for seasons and seasons, like, is it suddenly now important? Like you've been saying, like I've been saying, like every single reader who's ever read the books and watched the show has been saying.
They have to make it important at some point because it is a major plot point. I'm done giving the gold my attention.
You're done giving a not, I don't mean that in a bad way. You're just not going to let it rile you. Fafo. They've done the FN. Now we're finding out. Right? We're going to see how it falls and see if it hits. That's it. Fafo. All we can say is Fafo. Okay. Okay. So Roger said he says he's going to go after him with Bucklevy and they'll leave tonight. Bree gives them, I think, a brooch with some jewels in it. I'm guessing diamonds, but we don't really see it that closely. Okay. Some kind of thing. Back to yonder time.
Luckily, that it's not too specific. The stones take any gem.
That's true. Back with the Frasers. Jamie shows off his new scar. Claire's afraid that Jamie's going to fight again because he's like, she's like, how are you feeling? And he's like, oh, I don't have much pain. And he gets up and walks away. And then she's there with Ian and she's like, yeah, that means he's going to fight again. He'll sign up again.
Yeah. And you know what? He's going to scale a wall like he never had a hand injury.
But maybe, and this is what Summer was just kind of saying too, Claire begins to, I won't say see the light because I don't think that's it at all. But maybe just, she's like, she'll never, it's not about being tired or not getting tired. I think she is tired. But it's never about not caring. It's about choosing battles. And while she will always fear and always worry about Jamie and his safety and his life, this is one of those things where she knows that he's a GD hero. He's not going out to try to be a hero. It's in his blood. It's who he is to fight for people.
And to be fair, she can't care more about him not dying than he does. And he doesn't care. So at some point, you just gotta... I mean, she has resigned herself to a life of putting him back together. Like, she knows this at this point. She can call him a stupid man and read him the riot act every time she does it, but she knows he's going to do it again.
And so in that same vein, Claire's thinking, you know, maybe he's meant to be here there for this next battle he's going to do, whatever that is. And Rollo gets into something and we find out it's butt grease. I mean, goose grease. The goose grease was meant for some guy's poor butthole. And she's like, damn it, I need more. And Ian's like, I can go get some more. And yes, I promise to take it to the hunters.
Well, no, because she was like, can you take it to Denzel? And she was like, or maybe his sister. And he was like, okay.
Rollo and Ian visit Rachel's tent with the present of goose grease. They fuddle over the grease pot and Ian goes in for a kiss. She slaps him, the hussy, even though she kisses him back. Did you see that? He did not kiss her alone. No, I'm not saying coulda, shoulda, woulda. She doesn't have a right to have second thoughts. Everyone has a right to have second thoughts. But she slaps him after she also goes in. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, he talks to her in Gaelic and Mohawk. And I don't know the Mohawk, but I understood the Gaelic and they had it on the screen. It was Mokri, and Mokri is my heart. And he's like, oh, I just said I'm sorry. Now, I don't know if he said I'm sorry in Mohawk. It's very possible. Either he fully lied and none of it was I'm sorry, or only partially lied and just did not include my heart, which I totally understand. There's good reasons for lying.
Ginger, you speak several languages. Do you ever accidentally just mix them together?
Like, incorrectly? Or like, I'm trying to speak English and German comes out?
No, it's not even that. You try to speak English and German and a little bit of French.
No, there's a reason behind that, though. Yes, I do. It's called transfer or interference, but not typically when I'm... It's very rare when I speak English, because I spoke English as my first language for 14 years before I ever learned any second language.
I just think it was weird to mix them. I think if he alternated into one, that made more sense. But like...
And that's what I was going to say was, he, similar to me... No, that's not true. Similar to my ass... I literally was about to say, he, similar to me, only spoke English for the first 14 years of his life. No, Ginger friend. He had Gaelic. He's fully bilingual before he added his third language. So technically, English and Gaelic are his L1s, his first language, right? And then Mohawk or whatever else would be his L2, his second language. So I have no answer for you.
I'm just saying, it was clearly a choice, but I was just like, that was a weird thing to mix.
It would make sense that Gaelic might come out first because that is what it probably his stronger mother tongue. I don't know. And then maybe, I don't know. I can't speak for the Gaelic part, but yeah, interesting. And I love their theme. I cannot hum it. You're welcome. But I their theme is very pretty too. Their love theme. And then she says, you must not kiss me. Not yet anyway. She loves him and he her. Don't touch me, yo.
No, she said, I didn't say I love you.
I know, but we know she does. I'm saying it.
And he said, I hope you don't.
And he's like...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Don't touch me because my sperms may come out here and now.
It was more poetic than that. You just made it gross.
It was so much more poetic, but my job's not to be poetic.
Really?
My job's to get through the show.
No, your job is to do talking.
Is what?
Is to do talking.
I kind of do that a little bit. Yeah,
but no more sperm.
Oh. Traveling, I put a doctor. It wasn't a doctor. It was a general we learned, Brigadier General. So this guy with like a little suitcase of stuff, goods, visits. He's walking around camp, but he's going to visit Claire. He hears that she may have some cinchona bark, and he's brought a whole tray of things for her to look at, and he wants to see if she'll do any swapsies so that he can get some cinchona bark. And she's like, sure, I'll have your laudanum. And he's like, oh yeah, there's more. And then Jamie shows up to the chat And he's like, you know, almost like comes to attention. It's like, oh my goodness, you're. And then after he says, before he leaves, the guy introduces himself and says, sorry, I didn't introduce myself. I am Major General Benedict Arnold. And then he walks off with a slight limp. Yeah, that is not the first time Claire's met someone from history, but it definitely is, I think, the first time she's met someone infamous from history.
I mean, other than the king.
Was the king infamous?
Louis the 14th or 16th, whichever one he was. And then Bonnie, Prince Charlie.
I'm not saying they were all good, but infamous, like known as a traitor, known as something like only negative.
Bonnie, Prince Charlie. Depending on who you talk to.
I know, but everything is according to who you talk to. The Brits don't care about.
Well, then the same Arnold. Would be for Benedict Arnold.
But we're Americans. So we're taught in our school system that he's a big bad dude.
Should trust everything from our school system.
I didn't say that, but I'm saying what we are told is that. So, and that's the education Brianna got, and Claire would have gotten some of that through Brianna. So anyway, at least she knows of him from history and from the American history that she knows. And she's a little not swept away. She's a little beside herself. She's like, oh, that's a little freaky. Back to Rachel. Rachel is sitting and having a chat with her brothers, like, could you please pray for me? Blah, blah, blah. I'm in danger of spilling Ian's spermies.
Did we not just talk about this? Could we not talk about sperms? Like, why can't we not? Can we just talk about it without it being physically about, like, liquid coming out of a person?
But that's what would have happened. Bro reminds her that if she marries Ian, she'd never be accepted into a Quaker meeting anywhere. Back with Jamie and Claire, they're chatting about Benedict Arnold's upcoming treachery. And then they gather all around the campfire that evening after dark and hear Captain Morgan read a letter of their updates. All the updates of what's going on with the battles and the findings and the deaths and the captures and all the stuff. And then he takes his shirt off and he unknowingly pulls a Jamie. Jamie says that Claire says to him, does he know about you two?
I'm surprised it didn't become like a back off.
A what?
A back off. When they kept showing when he pulled that he took his shirt off and then like,
I got my back.
Oh, that's too funny.
Oh, you think that's good? Look at mine.
Jimmy says that Morgan senses in him a kindred spirit, but no. He does not know that Jamie was also lashed. And then I think it's the next morning. We're not told. We're told it's a morning. It is the morning of the Second Battle of Saratoga, October 7th, 1777. Jamie is out fighting with Morgan's man as rifleman. Benedict is on his horse yelling at everyone to shoot the Brits. Jamie sees his cousin and doesn't want to be the one that shoots him. he aims off to the right and ends up shooting the hat of his son. Whoopsie doodle. Yeah. Then someone else shoots General Fraser. Willie runs to be with Fraser. And then Jamie and the other riflemen run to the redoubt. And they climb over it. I guess it was that big piece of wood.
It's the wall he scales that he shows he has no injury on his hand.
It's the battlefield equivalent. It's like a barricade almost.
Kind of.
Da 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 barricade. Anyway.
Please edit that.
Jamie climbs over it and fights his way through the Brits. Jamie is bent on making sure his son is safe, but also making sure the right side wins. So he has to like actually shoot Brits. But make sure that in doing so does not shoot his son for the sake of Bree and Claire. And then, wow, Ian pops through like you definitely don't expect him. And he pops in on camera and he's got the red. I'm guessing it's
does that once per episode when the one British soldier was walking through the forest by himself. And then all of a sudden it's like crack, crack. And all of a sudden you see Ian and a bunch of
garb
brethren with him.
Brethren. I don't know, but that's funny.
Anyway, yeah. And you see them there. It's the same thing. He just pops up out of nowhere.
After that battle in a hospital tent, Claire is working on Arnold. And Arnold, he's not only like, obviously he's in pain. He's hurt from a wound, but you can tell he's like, it either is or is getting depressed. He's like, I was hit. This is the same leg that was hit before.
He's like, how about some laudanum, lady?
What?
How about some laudanum, lady?
Did he ask her some?
No, but he said before he took some the last time he injured himself and weaned himself off it.
Yeah. He's upset that Gates always leaves him out of the report of any battle, denying him honor and promotion. And in his state, which is, I think, understandable, he asks Claire if he's wrong to begrudge him that offense. And Claire takes a beat, not too long of a beat, and says, nope. Oh, Lord have mercy. Claire's here doing her part to make sure the future happens as it should. Jamie tells Claire that he nearly shot his son. It's only a few days until the Brits finalize their surrender. So the Americans won this battle. The Brits are going, they are surrendering, but it takes a few days to finalize all the stuff and get all the documents done or whatever. And right as they're chit-chatting, waiting for the Brits, a British soldier enters under a flag of truce. And he says,
well, he doesn't. He mentions it's a flag of truce, but he just pops up and everyone freaks out.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, what are you doing here?
Exactly. He's like, how? How did a British soldier just walk into camp?
We just beat your booties. Why? You're supposed to be over there working on this thing. Yeah. It turns out Jamie's cousin, General Fraser, is dying and he wants him present. So Jamie and Claire both go to pay their respects. Claire tells Jamie he doesn't. Once they get in, she sees him and she tells Jamie he doesn't have long. Go say a word now. So I thought this music, it's a sad scene because obviously it's two people on the opposite sides, blah, blah, blah. One's dying, etc. But it's the music that Baird did for this. It's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. And they chat in Gaelic and then in English. And it's a really beautiful, of course, sad scene. Claire steps out waiting for Jamie and Willie sees her. And then Jamie steps out a little bit later and Claire goes over to him to tell him that Willie's right over there. And there's chat about Willie's. They overhear someone talking to Willie about, like, where's your hat? How are you missing your hat? Like, how irresponsible is you? You don't have a hat. And Jamie, as they walk out, before they leave, Jamie walks over and gives him a hat. Now, I don't know if it's the same hat.
No, it was the hat that he himself was wearing.
Yes. In the book, I think it's he gave him the hat with the holes.
I don't remember.
I could be wrong about that. But anyway. In the books, I do know they were very, very, very careful to shield his face. And at this scene, absolutely did not say, let it go. I don't care. I'm just saying.
Haven't we established that
they're different?
that Willie doesn't remember what Mac looked like? So it doesn't matter if he covers his face.
I'm not arguing either way. I'm saying they were paranoid in the book at this point about showing his face.
Well, he doesn't look that much like him. So,
I mean, he's decently, but yeah, definitely not a carbon copy. Later, Jamie tells Claire he did it, meaning went face to face with William. And he says, because for the second time in my life, I've come very close to shooting my son. The first was the night of his birth. And if I don't miss the third time something happens, I at least need to speak with my son face to face as a man. And Willie is promoted to captain. The next day or so, Jamie describes the conditions of surrender. So William is safe. He is basically, I forget the word they use. They take his, this word comes up all the time, especially in the next book, or I guess book 8 with John, Lord John. His parole. They take his parole, which means he can no longer fight. And a lot of people who are no longer going to fight are sent back to England. I don't think that Willie, I don't think that's the plan for Willie, but he has to go back up north at least with his command or something. He can't like stick around. He's not able to fight anymore. General Gates visits them and he needs a favor. Accompany the body of General Fraser back to Scotland. So for us,
it was in the terms of surrender. I mean, how convenient is that?
Right. So that they will. No, they literally won't sign it. They say, unless you do this. And he's like, well, I mean, no shade. It helps both of us out. So sure. And they'll be taken on a British ship. So they don't have to find a ship. They don't have to make plans, anything.
They don't have to worry about a British ship stopping them.
Exactly. Tally-ho. So Ian tells Rachel about them going off to Scotland, and she promises to watch over Rollo. Yeah. Rachel loves Ian. Come on now.
I think it was funny that in the recap they chose to show Mr. Bug, Archbug, saying, I'll kill something. I'll wait. They chose to show a whole scene-ish, if you will, about him telling Ian, I'm going to wait until you love something and then I'm going to take it from you. They show all of that just so at the very end of the episode, she can be walking with his dog and him go, oh, I know that dog. He must really like you.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
It does make sense, but
maybe for the non-book readers,
I guess. But at the time, I mean, for those of us who haven't watched it in a year, I get it. But at the same time, and who haven't read the books, sure. But for,
yeah,
you know, it just for like, literally, it was like they gave that recap for literally five, like a 3 second section. What's more than 3 seconds? Like a 30 second section of the entire episode.
Back to Scotland. So I was right. I thought it was two or three. Nope. It's twice. We've only been to Scotland once. This is the second time. Roger and the Bucklevy and fam approach the stones and you can hear them. They're noisy-ish. And this is it. Roger and Bree theme plays as they canoodle and say goodbye. And then the TT theme comes in and poof, they're gone. That's all we get, folks. And then back to the colonies. This is what Summer was talking about. Rachel is walking Rollo just down a random road and they come upon... Unknowingly, she doesn't know this old man from another old man.
No, but Rollo sure knows him and doesn't know that's that he's true. Supposed to be afraid of him.
That's true. That's true. And they come up on Archbug. Now she's, after this exchange, she's literally, or metaphorically, not literally, but she has metaphorically fed the enemy. She's confirmed. She didn't say the words, yes, he loves me, or yes, he means a lot to me, or yes, you're right. But that ish-eating grin she had on her face absolutely confirms. She didn't know better. There's no reason for her to know
better. She doesn't have to love him for him to want to kill her because Ian loves her enough to leave his dog.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she does love him. But you're right. It doesn't matter right now. It just matters how Ian feels. Right. To Archbug, it only matters how Ian feels. On the water, Jamie and Claire and Ian.
Thank God this is brief.
Oh, the scenes?
Well, just any time left on a boat. I'm just done with him being on a boat.
Oh, that. Summer's like, no more boats. We're done with Voyager. No more boats.
The doldrums killed me for my love of boats. I don't have that anymore.
So they're on a boat together, all three of them, and Jamie's pride keeps him nauseous. Look, kind of like you. Claire cannot be concerned, more concerned for his safety than he is. She cannot be more concerned about his caring for not being nauseous than he is for himself. So F him. And I don't wish anyone illness, bad things happen. Absolutely not. But I cannot be more concerned for you than you because that is not your fault, my fault.
You just got to let it go.
I am allowing myself to be emotional vampired, which is not your fault, my fault. Yeah, no, not doing that.
Enjoy your nausea.
Right?
But she did. She made the offer. She's like, do you want the needles? And he was like, nope.
That's the thing. She didn't totally. She's still not writing him off because she's a healer.
She loves him. She's trying to. If he wants it, she's going to give it
exactly,
to him.
Exactly. Like, all but you got to do, like, honey.
She's like, I'm done forcing.
Literally give me the glance, the word. I will do it. She's always checking in with him, probably every so often. And he's like, nope. Pride. Pride's still there. Okay. Got it. Have fun with the vomit bucket.
Enjoy puking over the edge of the ship.
And then they see land. Next stop is Scotland. There's land, ya ho. And then I thought this was really funny. Not funny the way it sounded, but the funny. So you know that song, whatever, they have a male Gaelic voice singing at the end. It's Grioger, I think. Anyway, I can't tell you what it means because I don't speak Gaelic. However, I have studied Scottish Gaelic like for a half of a part of a semester, 20 years ago. I know very, very basic. I mean, like probably my vocabulary, like 15, 20 words. Okay. Very small. But the funny thing is because he says it, it was the first thing he says in the song. And then later on, I was listening. He says it like 85 times in the song, but there's more vocabulary or more lyrics than just this. But the song, I don't know if it's the title or just the first line, but the song he sings, Ha Mi Ski. Ha me is just I am. And ski is tired. Over and over he sings, I am tired, I am tired, I am tired. I mean, same.
I mean, we couldn't have rewatched this episode at a more opportune time.
To be tired?
Because I am also tired.
And it was, it's one of the very few Gaelic words I know, like I said, a vocabulary of about maybe 20 words. And he says, tired, I'm tired. And he sings it very gorgeously.
And that was episode 708. Join us next time when we discuss episode 709 entitled
unfinished business.
Thank you as always so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode, which will be the season 7B premiere. And I look forward to our next episode too.
Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlanderPod.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.